FM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. America on the move. The TSA expecting to screen more than 17 million passengers this weekend. That's up 8.5% from last year. The advice from travelers at Chicago O'Hare International Airport.
Get here on time. Make sure you are checked in. They have apps. They have all these things to help you kind of get ahead of the game now.
Just be safe, cautious. Make sure you keep your belongings near you and arrive on time.
After saying 6 weeks is not enough time, former President Trump reversing himself and saying he'll vote to keep a Florida ban on abortion after 6 weeks in place. This even as Trump says he would, if elected, have the government and insurance companies pay for IVF fertility treatments that often discard fertilized embryos. U.S. military forces targeting ISIS operatives in western Iraq early Thursday, CENTCOM says 15 ISIS militants were killed. No civilian casualties reported, but 7 U.S. personnel injured during the mission, all reported in stable condition. This is ABC News. A 35-year-old Brazil native and convicted killer who escaped a Pennsylvania jail last year while awaiting transport to prison has pleaded guilty to new charges. It left residents in the rural area outside Philadelphia on edge. Daniello Cavalcante was originally convicted of killing his ex-girlfriend, authorities say, to stop her from telling police about charges in a 2017 murder in Brazil. ABC's Michelle Franzen has more.
The Pennsylvania escapee, shown on video scaling a jail wall at a Chester County lockup last September, pleaded guilty to escape and burglary charges. Convicted killer Daniello Cavalcante climbed 2 jail walls in an exercise yard and a razor wire fence while awaiting transfer to a state prison to begin a life sentence. The escapee led authorities on a manhunt for nearly 2 weeks, stealing a dairy farm truck and breaking into a homeowner's garage before he was caught with the help of a plane's thermal imaging.
I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic, reliable, just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
News. I'm Terry Bell. The site of the former General Motors plant in Janesville has been empty for 15 years. The city is applying for a federal grant to spur new and more sustainable development there. Here's Mike Moan.
The city of Janesville will host a trio of public listening sessions in September as it prepares to apply for a $20 million EPA grant that focuses on environmental justice. The city's economic development director, Jim Z. Cuborn, says as they try to reimagine the old General Motors and JATCO site, they want surrounding neighborhoods experiencing low incomes and other side effects to have a brighter future.
We've got trees growing up in the middle of asphalt and fences falling over, and so go in and create a green opportunity, a green field for new development and new opportunity.
She says that could include new energy-efficient housing and the possibility of solar projects. The GM site was demolished just prior to the pandemic, and this specific EPA grant doesn't deal with needed soil cleanup work. But Cuborn touts the importance of pursuing environmentally friendly development so that neighborhoods don't have to deal with things such as excessive stormwater runoff from these old sites. Cuborn says cities like Janesville aren't alone in confronting this problem.
There are multiple sites throughout the United States where we've seen things offshored, some things reshore, and communities are sitting on these blighted assets.
Janesville has encountered roadblocks, including working with a private company and getting the GM site fully free of contamination and its remaining concrete removed. And a recent Brookings Institution report outlined how the area has been able to survive without solely relying on heavy manufacturing. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today with a high near 80 degrees. It will be breezy out of the southwest. Tonight, a few scattered storms and a low around 48. For Sunday, sunshine, a little breezy still with a high near 68. Sunny Labor Day with a high of 72, 73 Tuesday.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we sit down and talk to labor leaders from all over Wisconsin for our Labor Day celebration. Please join us and happy Labor Day.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're about to have a big storm here in St. Paul, and our guest, Robert Lilligren, who's from the Native American Community Development Institute and a White Earth Ojibwe, may have to take over the show with Brad if the storm gets bad here. And we know Robert's an old pro, and he's many, many things, but he also went to the old school Brown Institute, which all the famous people went to back in the day, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I didn't sign up to take over the show. The first wave of the storm already went by my house. It's pretty intense. Oh. I know there's another wave coming.
Oh, geez. Well, all these storms this year are really kind of really telling us what's happening with our weather, I think. And it's really been a pretty crazy year. And I always used to say, Robert, that the weather people were pretty accurate, but that hasn't been recently because of this humidity. Stuff's been popping up out of nowhere.
Well, and what we've done to our planet, right? And our climate, yep. It's so much less predictable. You can't really look at the past. In some ways, I feel like the more precise the technology gets, just the more range of potential experiences and events there might be. But these storms this last few days have been pretty powerful, pretty destructive. We've lucked out here in Knockwood at our house, but all around us, trees down, buildings damaged. Yeah.
Yeah, we went to the fair, my daughter and I, my Hinu, Jaleesa, and our booth at the fair was saved pretty well. I think things were knocked over a little bit, but there was some serious damage out there and damage on the way there and on the way to the fair. So it really made us take pause, and now today, too.
Yep. And for those who aren't from Minnesota, the Minnesota State Fair is huge. It's a huge event, well attended, and this week for the first time, they actually postponed the opening of the fair because they had to do storm cleanup, and it's never been postponed before. in its whatever, I suppose more than a century history. And so, so this is what's happening to our climate, and this is how we're needing to adapt. And, you know, Minnesota overall is getting hotter and wetter with our climate. And so what does that mean to us as people, especially those of, and to our, to how we treat the land, how we manage our infrastructure? It's going to be change, and it's going to be costly.
You know, the last three years, we had a drought, and there was wild rice, I heard, being, was growing again like it hadn't in 100 years in the Twin Cities.
Right.
It was just crazy. And then all of a sudden this year we have all this rain, and we don't have a drought. And then back up the winter, we had no snow. And then the year before, we had probably the third largest snowfall in history.
Right, right. And it's ricing season here, as we know, and a lot of our relatives are up ricing right now. And just the preliminary stuff I've heard is that even with all the water we've had, and maybe we've had too much, but it's not that abundant of a ricing season. And then the storms have brought a lot of wind that knocks out the grains. And so we'll see. Fingers crossed. You always want abundance in the ricing season.
Yeah, and our friends up north, Robert, maybe you can talk a little bit about this, but I know rice and fish is really sustains the economy for a lot of our relatives up there over the years. And I know so right now, too.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. And then, you know, it's just, it's such a whatever. What am I trying to say? A cultural thing, right? We need our rice. And so so we'll see how it goes. And then it's having impact on other crops, right? And really just stepped into the chat about corn sweat, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that was the first I had heard of it. A lot of people talking about corn sweat. Right?
Yeah,
I guess it, you know, the sweat off the corn that we grow here, you know, just tons of corn here in Minnesota. Right. But I guess it gives off sweat and makes, you know, the moisture in the air a lot higher.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I just learned that.
Very interesting.
I just learned that just right
we're all
now.
Living together.
Yes, we are. But I don't know if that affects like the storms or, you know, creates higher energy for the storms. I don't know.
Sure. Wow. I'm sure it raises the heat level here. And we're in a very agricultural part of the country, right? And the impact that climate change is having on our ability to grow. We have lots of corporate sort of farming that has done a lot of negative things to our land and our water, for that matter. And so how do we relearn how we grow food? How to, I believe that the best solutions are local, right? Localized production, localized distribution, like the old days. The family farms, the gardens in our yards and things. And so I suspect that we'll see a return to some of the older ways of farming and the traditional ways of farming.
Well, and your organization has a garden, and that's you're putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, because people are learning. You can have an inner city garden and eat from it and things like that. Robert, you're roughly the same age as me, and I remember.
Yeah, but I look so much younger. I look so much younger.
And taller. I look younger on radio. We used to only get certain foods during a certain part of the year, and now it's like we get everything all the time. We're so spoiled from either all over the country or these. You mentioned corporate farms, and I really can't stand the corporate farms where they have thousands of cows and pooping all over the place and all that.
Right. Thanks for the shout out to our urban farm, our Four Sisters Urban Farm. It produces today at our Four Sisters Farmers Market. I bought all of my produce from our urban farm stand, and very local, just growing just a few blocks from where it's sold, right? So that helps. And, you know, my dad was an agricultural broadcaster on the radio for a big chunk of his career. And so he knew a thing or two about agriculture. And I remember back in the 1970s, even, you know, when I was a kid, and he would talk to me about the direction that farming was taking in this country. And my dad said, the reason we can enjoy such a high quality of life in this country is because our food production is local and very cheap. And he said, but that's changing. And these corporate farms will take over and gobble up all the land, and then they will be setting prices, availability. And he said, and our standard of living will change because of that. That was 50 years ago, you know, and it turns out he was right. He knew what he was talking about, you know, and what he was seeing in the future back then is what's happening now.
Yeah, it's being a old kid that my dad listened to that station every day, it's always really fun to bring up your dad because it's a great childhood memory for me to listen to WCCO, The Good Neighbor, and your dad, Chuck Lilligren. I'll never forget that. Thanks. So it's that fun that you're on. And it's fun you're on our show, too. So it's like a legacy thing. It's really, it warms my heart, too. All right. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Oh, stay with us.
Yes.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are back here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on, and Robert, I want to switch gears a little bit. And talk a little bit about the national election. And I heard something from one of our guests a couple days ago, which I thought was really interesting, that we're really doing well. I think we're really doing well around the country, but we can't rest on our laurels because I believe what she said was that Hillary was this far ahead at this time in 2016. So that made me a really kind of shocked a little bit and remember that trauma.
Agree, it was trauma, and there is encouraging news, but you're 100% right, Robert. We cannot rest. Elections are not magical. They are hard work, and they take every one of us contributing our what we can. And that might be a few bucks here. It certainly will be a few hours on campaigns and helping out at all levels to turn out voters. But there are encouraging things. And I would say one thing that's different between this from this year but in 2016 is the sense of momentum, of hope, of joy. And I feel like in 2016, some of that was lacking. And I think that the momentum, the hope, the joy can motivate people to get out there and do our part, right? To see what happens. And, you know, I thought when Harris stepped in as the Democratic nominee, she had the potential to really lift up down ballot races, impact certainly the majorities in D.C. in the Senate and in the House, but even locally. And it feels like that's happening. And a lot of the polling data shows that, but it didn't feel that way in 2016. So that's a little bit different. And I look, even you look at some of those, kind of bellwether races, like the Senate, mm-hmm. the U.S. Senate race in Arizona, with the Republican challenger is now down in the double digits in polling. And so that's encouraging. And I think we'll see more of that. And then as you look at Harris's numbers, if you look into them, she is now up 13% within two important groups, both women and Hispanic voters nationally.
Yes.
So that's where you start growing those real majorities.
Yeah, and of course, the Gen Zers and the first-time voting, how many people, there was an unbelievable amount of people that registered to vote after the vice president got in. That's a big sign, too.
Right, that's a huge sign, and I'm going to make this number up, so please don't quote me on it. But I think voter registration is up something like 175%.
Amongst black women nationally.
These are generating margins of victory.
Yeah, and I did hear that too, just a few days ago. And then also, I heard a number too, and maybe Haley, you can correct me if I'm wrong, or Robert. And that's what's exciting is after the VP became the candidate for president, there was 45,000 people that signed up to help with the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Do you remember that number?
I don't know the number. Haley, do you know it?
I don't know directly out of Wisconsin, but it seems like quite a bit.
Well, I was on another show a couple days ago out of Wisconsin, and that's what they said. And I was like, wow, that's an unbelievable number.
Right. That's the excitement factor, right? That we really, really need, not just as in a presidential campaign, we need it as a country, right?
Right.
Something to be excited about, something to be hopeful about. And I think that's going to have direct impact on a lot of races. And now there's these bubbles being floated that there's a strong possibility of retaking the House of Representatives in D.C., of broadening the majority in the Senate, and that'll mean a different kind of governing that we've had here in Minnesota, right, for the last 4 years with our trifecta, our House, our Senate, and our governor's office all being in Democratic hands. It's made a difference.
Oh, a huge difference, and I can see that. And it would be fun, too, to be able to push, once they get elected, push them more progressive, and also talk about the Supreme Court. All these things that Biden's starting to talk or was starting to talk about, you know, term limits, but also broadening out to 13 to match the number of the districts for the Supreme Court? It's something like that.
Appeals court districts, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, to match the number, and it made sense. But just. The sky's the limit if we can get the trifecta nationally.
Agree. And I suspect a Harris administration in first term is going to be an extension of a lot of what President Biden has been trying to move forward. But hopefully we'll have the political wherewithal to pass some of that. And you described them as progressive kinds of issues or initiatives. And I would suggest these are pretty mainstream. I mean, a lot of what you brought up is broadly supported by a majority of Americans.
Yes.
So it's not really this kind of, we're so progressive. It's really a mainstream agenda.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I saw that percentages on that filmmaker's website of that basically he had a list of everything. This is Michael Moore had this unbelievable list. And 70% of the people are liberal in this country, basically, is what it said.
Right. Or what we would call liberal today, right?
Yeah.
It might not have been liberal 25 years ago, but because the political temperature has moved so far to the right, you know, since Reagan, it feels more liberal. But again, it's really mainstream.
Right. It is. It really is. And common sense. Things are common sense. And even like what Wall says, mind your own business. I think we got to
mind your own damn business.
Yeah. Don't swear on my show, Robert. No, I'm
kidding. That's pretty lightweight. I could do worse.
I think I have done worse here. I think
I love that. I think that's going to be lifted up. I'm really looking forward to the Harris Walls interview on CNN tonight.
Yes.
I think we'll hear the things. I would be very surprised if Walls doesn't say at some point, mind your own damn business.
Yeah. I shouldn't be, but I am so surprised and happy that Walls is on this ticket. It really shocked me. And then as it sunk in and then the people got to know him and he, that's what we see is a really smart man that can speak to the crowds and any crowd and right. off the top of his head. I know he's using a teleprompter now, but that was really funny when he told the Harris people that I don't know how to use a teleprompter. I never do. And I've never seen him use one.
Have you ever used one? Have you ever used a teleprompter?
Yeah, I used to teach video production, yeah.
I love them. I've only used them a couple of times, but I love them. But most of his stuff is, sort of off the cuff, ad lib. And one of the amazing things about him as a candidate and as a governor is he just doesn't flub. He doesn't flub a lot, He knows what he wants to say, and he says mm-hmm. it eloquently and clearly. And I know you and a lot of others were surprised. I think I've shared this with you, that he became the vice presidential nominee. But literally the moment that I learned that President Biden was stepping aside, Vice President Harris was stepping in, I said to the people I was with that same second, Governor Walls will be the vice presidential nominee. And everyone was like, oh, no, he won't. He's, not on high enough profile, or he's from a blue state that only has 10 electoral votes. And I kept saying, nope, he'll be the nominee. And as the list got shorter and shorter, and he was very often left off the short list. And then I kept saying, he'll be the nominee. And sure enough, he's a nominee, and he's so relatable, right? And I think there is a rationality, is that a word, of seeing Harris and with Walt standing behind her that I think will draw a lot of voters and draw a lot of undecideds.
Absolutely. And I heard, and again, I'm spitballing numbers. Somebody can fact check my show later, but there's a large number of a former, the former president's workers that support just a couple days ago. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Were they presidents, Haley? Do you remember? Or were they all presidents? But there was like 500 presidential candidates. So I think John McCain's first up, and there's like
right,
like Republicans that have come out to support Harris, and that says something, right?
Yeah, and I got to say this too, Robert. I'm not mainstream, but the mainstream media has got to get on the ball and really start talking about the great things that Biden and Harris have done. We were joking around with just being progressive. I believe Biden's been more progressive than probably since Johnson or even FDR for that matter.
I think you're right. And we'll see. That's why I'm really interested in the CNN interview tonight. We'll see what they lift up. I mean, Waltz has a strong progressive record of passing legislation, but Harris as vice president broke ties in the Senate, right? And so she can legitimately be credited with passing some landmark legislation. So I think we'll see some of what they're going to pick up out of that record tonight as well.
Can you stay on another segment? This is super fun.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Right on. All right. Hey, Robert, sorry to surprise you like that, but we're having too much fun here. All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren and Haley Cherry. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. America on the move. The TSA expecting to screen more than 17 million passengers this weekend. That's up 8.5% from last year.
The advice from travelers at Chicago O'Hare International Airport.
Get here on time. Make sure you are checked in. They have apps. They have all these things to help you kind of get ahead of the game now.
Just be safe, cautious. Make sure you keep your belongings near you and arrive on time.
After saying 6 weeks is not enough time, former President Trump reversing himself and saying he'll vote to keep a Florida ban on abortion after 6 weeks in place. This even as Trump says he would, if elected, have the government and insurance companies pay for IVF fertility treatments that often discard fertilized embryos. U.S. military forces targeting ISIS operatives in western Iraq early Thursday. CENTCOM says 15 ISIS militants were killed. No civilian casualties reported, but 7 U.S. personnel injured during the mission, all reported in stable condition. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers beat the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won their final preseason game 30-7 over the Baltimore Ravens. Green Bay finishing with a preseason record of 2 wins and 1 loss. On defense, the Packers had 4 takeaways, including linebacker Christian Welch, who once played for the Ravens and is a native of Iola, Wisconsin, head coach Matt LaFleur.
He's just a smart, tough, physical player. I thought that interception that he had was an outstanding play. It looked like, to me, he baited the quarterback right there as a hook player and just made a great break on the ball and made the play. And then he had a heck of a return.
Who's going to be the Packers kicker? Greg Olsen and Anders Carlson both had field goals from beyond 50 yards out. Then Carlson missed wide right from just 32 yards out.
Both those guys went in there and hit a 54-yarder and a 55-yarder. And then there's a poor moment there where we miss a chip shot.
Baseball, Brewers and the A's tonight in Oakland. The Crew winning last night 11-3. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today with a high near 80 degrees. It will be breezy out of the southwest. Tonight, a few scattered storms and a low around 48. For Sunday, sunshine, a little breezy still with a high near 68. Sunny Labor Day with a high of 72, 73 Tuesday.
Currently 53 degrees.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Pickleball. Yeah. Where's Greg Baca on this? Because I'm about to offend all these many, many people in Wisconsin who play it. It's overgrown ping pong. I mean, come on.
It's underbaked tennis.
Well, I've already done it because on the text line, Matt from Germantown, don't make fun of pickleball.
We're not making fun of pickleball. We're simply making fun of the people who play pickleball. There is a difference.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. P. Chwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with P. Chwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1.
U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Robert Lilligren, and Robert is the president and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We are so happy to have you on. I want to switch gears a little bit, and then we can get back to a little politics talking, but just talk about what's happening at the Avenue. Today you had the market, and we got things going on in the gallery. Let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, Robert.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the time to talk about what we're doing at Native American Community Development Institute, NACDI, on the American Indian Cultural Corridor in Minneapolis. Today was our Four Sisters Farmers Market Day. It's one of our big food access and food sovereignty initiatives. It was a great market day, even without you two being there. I didn't see there, but it was really full, crowded. We had this great DJ, a Native guy who spins sort of vintage Native recordings, more pop music, but
very vintage recording.
Yeah, that's a Justice. And that was great. It's a little windy toward the end. We shut it down an hour early because of the weather, the incoming weather, but it was a great day. And that complements our Four Sisters Urban Farm, which is very nearby there. And that's just going gangbusters, not just with creating produce, but we're implementing our first medicine garden. The garden, the farm expands a little every year. So next is the medicine garden. Looking forward to that. At the gallery, you just had the nice promo with Kay White. They're amazing. I don't know if you've met her or talked with her. Very straight shooting, straight talking artist.
Haley has.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Lovely time with her.
I know. Within seconds of meeting her, she said something very inappropriate to me, but very funny. And it really connected us. So we have a great event coming up, which is a live, it's sort of her artist talk, but she does live painting, and that's kind of her thing. And so that's September 14th at our gallery, 2 to 4 p.m. And that's at 1414 East Franklin on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Strongly encourage people to that. And then our other big kind of area of projects and programs is in civic engagement, and especially voter engagement, voter registration, voter outreach through our Make Voting a Tradition project. And this year, that they are just up and running, working statewide, growing the pool of Native voters, and then tracking that progress to show. We're part of a 5-state partnership this year where Native votes are enough to swing an election, right? Yeah. So we have to make sure to get every Native voter there, and that's just going gangbusters. We have candidate forums scheduled and things, and just a lot happening. And just so folks know, kind of the NACDI model, we stay grounded, authentically grounded in community through these areas: arts and culture, civic engagement, food sovereignty. And then we work to change systems, right? We engage with policy, with boardrooms, with non-Native institutions to better educate them about what's going on in the Native community. And so it's very satisfying work.
Well, you do other work too, and I've had the opportunity to kind of follow what you're doing and also be a part of what you're doing. And some of the work that you do for the Met Council is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you've brought, how do you say, join the tribe or bring the tribe along? There's a lot of Natives now, because of your work, that are plugged into what's happening in the Met Council, which, you know, there's so many things that they do. I was blown away, and I thought I knew what they did.
Right. So it's our 7-county metropolitan government. I serve as a district rep, and I represent the big chunk of the of almost all of South Minneapolis. So the Native community in Minneapolis. Met Council is one of the most robust regional governments in the country. Probably one of the most two robust. And over the last few years, and I appreciate your involvement in this, or the last 6 months even, we've really centered Native voices in our planning through an advisory council that's about to produce your final report and recommendations to the full Met Council. And I love this so much. The Met Council itself is doing a remote meeting on the American Indian Culture Corridor at the newly redesigned Minneapolis American Indian Center. And that's not a common thing for us to go meet in community. So I look forward to the presentation. I'm thrilled that this is happening, and maybe generate some Native attendance there as well. So the council can see our people and know that we're interested in being partners.
Well, and again, I have to applaud you. I know we've joked over the years how many committees you are on, but it's really breaking the glass ceiling, so to speak, and reminding people that we're still here. And your voice is so important and has opened that Met Council door to amazing things and amazing education and opportunities that I never thought that would be. I would be a part of, but that any Native would be a part of. So really big kudos to you, Robert.
Very kind. You know, it's community effort. You know, we used to joke about my 17 titles, right? Which one are you going to use today? But, as the first tribal citizen on the Minneapolis City Council, the first tribal citizen on Met Council, I have these other sort of civic firsts. It's important to me not to promote myself, but there can't be a second, right, until there's a first. Yeah. There can't be a fifth or 100th until there's a first. I mean, look at our lieutenant governor, what kind of door she's opening as a Native woman. And with this Met Council work, I'll tell you, Robert and Haley, it's different. And so halfway through the Native Advisory Committee's work, they came and presented to the committee I chair at Met Council, which is concerned with the planning part, and amongst other things. And, you know, I had all my lists of arguments to sort of promote and lift up, you know, the Native perspective and the Native direction. And as the information and the work of the work group was presented, my colleagues on the council started making my arguments, and I could kind of check them off one by one. The stuff that I've always been the only one in the room that had said it before. And so it's a different day. That's my point. I think there's an acknowledgement of the importance of centering Native voices, of engaging them. And I remember at this committee meeting, I was almost crying. And I said, you guys have to realize I'm accustomed to being the only person in the room saying these things. So
be quick. Yeah, that's huge. And that brings me back kind of to what we've been talking about, especially with this election and how important it is that I've matured over the years, Robert, that I think I was more of a one issue voter. Right. And I've really matured over the years that we have to look at the big picture and how much progress we have. There's a lot to go, don't get me wrong, but how much we have in the last 10 years.
Right. And it's the generations coming up. I mean, look at Haley here, you know, as we've talked about before, young Native people overall, young Native leadership that's emerging are so much more grounded in their cultures, their languages, their histories, their traditional spirituality. And you can see the impact that's happening. And so really at this point in my life, it's trying to figure out how do we pass this on? Yeah. It's your turn, you know. We destroyed the world in my generation. Sorry. You know, we need you to come and help us heal.
Well, and it's been a slow, gradual a positivity towards whether it's history, whether it's book. I mean, we've sold so many at the State Fair, banished forever, the removal of Ho-Chunk from Minnesota. And people just don't know the story, but are learning and want to learn, all our white allies out there that listen to this show, too, all over civic media and the Twin Cities. We're just so grateful. Because I'm a conduit to really good guests like you that are experienced in the way it was, the way it's happening, and the way it's going to be.
Well, that's so kind. Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for your work, the two of you. I can't wait to see you out at the fair. I'm going tomorrow. And
I'm going out too.
Yeah. You'll be out there, Haley?
Yeah, we all will be, I think.
Yeah. I won't be working, though, because I'm still tired from the DNC, and I had to work five days at the fair for my kids because my daughter just had a baby.
At your age, Robert, you need to get your rest.
Yeah.
Sure do. We don't even want to talk about when it was 100 degrees and what I accidentally called daily.
I can't go out there. I was sorry to miss Indigenous Peoples Day out at the State Fair. It looks great from everything I saw on the socials, but I cannot be out in that kind of heat.
I know. Isn't that sad? I used to love this stuff and lay in the beach and fry and go swimming, and now it's like, I got to go home and turn the air conditioning on.
Yeah, I used to love to sit and get hot and sweat. I can't spend that much time outside. But these are exciting times, and the generational shift that's happening within Indian country, it's so gratifying to see. And then, of course, here, you know, we had so many of our founders, AIM founders, and other people who established cultural cornerstones here, and we're losing them. You know, it's that time, it's that season. And so people like you and me are kind of a bridge, right?
Yeah.
But I just wonder what they would think if they saw some of the young people coming up the way they are.
Well, and then just to we only got a couple of minutes left, but we talk about in our lifetime, I'm being 63 years old, and that we were able to practice our own religion, and we were both like juniors in high school, and how amazing that is. And so there was a lot of, you know, a couple generations of natives that had to acclimate to survive and do a lot of other things to survive. And now we have a newer generation are coming up and are taking what they deserve and what's theirs.
Right. And that's, I agree. And the interesting thing, you know, is that genocide and then forced assimilation worked, right? And so native people almost disappeared, right?
Yeah. But
they didn't. And the growth we've seen, not just in numbers, the population is, the Indian community is a growing population in this country, a contemporary population. And I think as we try to figure our way out of a lot of the problems in our world, in our country, it's Indigenous ways that are going to really be our solutions.
Wow, great way to end it. Thank you so much, Robert. It's always fun and inspiring to have you on the show, really.
Miigwech.
Right on. Hey, up next, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, we have Robert Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News. Ho-wa. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for matinee on air.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now, there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings. And when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right, Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass. It's only
tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! Hey, right on. Hey, Bob, are you out in the storm there? What the heck?
I'm caught in the storm, Robert. I am caught in the storm. It's coming down. It is coming down out here.
You know my native name, right? My native name is Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. So we like the storm here just to keep the show going, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's distant thunder. I didn't know that. That's so cool, Robert.
Hey, thanks. I want to mention a couple things before you give us our Solar Bear report. And one of the things, I don't know if you've seen on my Facebook, but I was driving down the street heading home from the fair, and there was a car that was a Tesla. And I was like, at first I didn't know what it was because I looked at it and it had the same font, right? And it said Kamala on there instead of Tesla with the same font and the same letters on the back of the car. I thought that was awesome. It was crazy. It was like on Summit Avenue.
Yeah, and you know that Elon Musk has been catching a lot of flack for the comments he's been making, you know, and his, like, support of Trump. I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's going off the deep end or something, Robert.
Yeah, well, also, what was really ironic about that day, Robert, was that I posted a thing that said spotted on a Tesla earlier that day. And it says it was like kind of a sticker on the window and said, I bought this before we knew Elon was crazy. So give those guys that have Teslas a break, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that really brings up a really good segue, Robert, into electric vehicles. They're saying, Robert, that in a couple of years that we're going to have the same amount of charging stations, you know, around the country as like, you know, gas stations. So, you know, we're still lagging behind. But the point being there is that, you know, the easier we make it for everybody to be able to charge their vehicle, the quicker adoption we'll have of electric vehicles. So that's really what I think this administration has been really trying to focus in on. And I hopefully, you know, we get Kamala to, you know, fingers crossed here. I'm feeling pretty confident about it, Robert. But if we get that particular, you know, administration in, I can only see that this will go, you know, very successful with this outlay of all these charging stations.
Yeah, definitely. And let me just put it this way. Joe Biden's probably the most progressive president we've ever had, and probably since FDR and Johnson with the New Deal and all that. And I hope our Vice President Harris will pick that up. And I know Governor Walz has been behind a lot of our progressiveness here in the state.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think, like, the big thing, Robert, is just, like, you know, I mean, climate change is real. I mean, it's just happening. And cheap energy, you know, is good for democracy, is good for the planet. And it's really what drives world leadership, you know. And we've known that because in this country, we've always had cheap energy, right? And so we know that that drives industry, that drives businesses, that drives, you know, economies. So, you know, I really feel like, you know, if we have, you know, if we focus in on cheap energy and you really see the states that are doing that, those are the economies that are going to be doing really well in the future. And China is doing this. Germany has done that, and look at their economy. So, I mean, when you think about it that way, I mean, that's why I really believe that focusing in on charging stations, electric vehicles, renewable energy, it's really going to happen. And specifically, Robert, too, tribal nations need to start making this switch too, and this adjustment. One of the folks that I work with is doing a big project on one of these army bases, and was kind of giving me some insight onto what they're doing, you know, talking to me about stuff. And he, you know, it was really interesting because I was thinking to myself, wow, man, you know, they're really preparing these army bases for, you know, for climate change. And I just think about how our cities and our towns really need to be focused on that also, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. And I think it is, and the government, like, has really helped out with that, and with a lot of grants and things like that are still popping up there. And so it's exciting to be doing this. It's exciting. It's really exciting. And we talk about, Bob, you've been on the show for 8 years working on this, and just how much growth the industry has happened and the things that you've been working on, and the awards you're getting.
I can't believe, Robert, that it's been that long, and I've been screaming from the top of the mountain on this stuff forever, and it's actually coming true. It's ridiculous. We were just talking about this the other day. I was out of town, and I was just like, wow, I can't believe that this dream or this vision that I had is actually happening, and it's becoming reality. And it's amazing to see how everything is progressing. But I mean, like I said, we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot more to get done. But I mean, it's really exciting, Robert, just to see kids, to see, you know, people that are looking into doing this for a career. The jobs that have grown in the renewable energy industry is remarkable. You know, Joe Biden, the Biden administration is going to, September 5th, they're going to southwestern Wisconsin to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act and the jobs that have been created by this, you know, historic legislation, Robert. So that's happening next week, so on September 5th. You know, he's going to southwestern Wisconsin. So I think that's just incredible, all the jobs and all the opportunities that are coming from all this. And we just got to get out and vote too, Robert, in November. Yeah. Like, everybody's got to get out. Like, we can't pretend we got this.
Right.
We've been bamboozled before. It's just so important that you talk to 10 of your family members. I'm now on a PAC. I'm on a board member on a political action committee. And I do this on my free time, everyone. Bob Blake, just regular citizen guy. Want to make that clear. it's those kinds of things, Robert. You always say on this, join, like, run for office, like, start a company, start a nonprofit, like,
yeah,
all those things. Like, yeah, it's so true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been leading the way, and it's funny watching this and experiencing it, both the trajectory of Solar Bear and also Native Roots Radio, and then we went down to DNC and learned and met all those other Indians that are doing great work around the country, and and you gave out a T-shirt to Amy Klobuchar. I'll never forget that.
And Robert, I just want to say too, like, honestly, like, what you're doing with this radio show, I mean, you are just giving a voice to, like, so many folks. Air the American Indian, that thing, that, I mean, you know what I mean, because we just started this thing, like, Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, you know, and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and all these people are coming on now, and it's so cool to see their little segments and everything, Robert. So miigwech, Robert, you're the best.
Hey, you are too. Thank you so much for what you do for our people and the community. Really great having you on every week, Robert. That's Bob Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and he's signing off. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote, vote, vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Labor Day edition of the show. We'll look back at Wisconsin history and Labor Day. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Sometimes life's challenges leave you feeling alone. We all need someone who understands and listens without judgment. That's what the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline is for. 988 is free and confidential. Trained counselors are ready to listen and provide support 24/7 for mental health and substance use concerns. You can contact 988 for yourself or for someone you know. Don't wait. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988wisconsin.org. 988 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Former President Trump does a 180 on a six-week abortion ban in Florida.
Trump Friday now saying that he will, as a Florida resident, vote no on a ballot measure aiming to overturn the state's near-total abortion ban.
When I heard about it, I disagreed with it.
Even though just the day before, he indicated the state's new six-week ban was too restrictive.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The response from the Harris campaign? Voters aren't stupid. Lawyers for Donald Trump and special counsel Jack Smith clashing over the election interference case. Smith has left the timeline to the